to the Vibrational Voyage radio program. Vibrational Voyage is about exploring the evolution of consciousness and the dynamics of global transformation. My name is Tony McGettigan, and I'll be your host for this journey. All righty, boy. Lovely to be here with you. Boy, it's rainy out there tonight. That presented a few challenges with just, you know, can't get here quickly when it's raining. You got to take your time. Should have planned a little better. But I did plan, fortunately, to have a very interesting and enjoyable guest, a friend of mine, Vinnie McCorsky. And Vinnie's been on the program before a number of times. So we're going to kind of talk about some things that are happening currently and what the, the reverberations are of these things that are going on. So, Vinny, hello. It's wonderful to have you here. Can you hear okay?
Hey, Tony. Yep. Can you hear me?
Yep. I should be. Oh, I'm so, you know what? I didn't have your mic up. Sorry.
Hey,
I
thought, Tony.
Now I'm hearing you.
All right.
There you
go. Yeah, I hear me too.
Okay, good.
I didn't hear me quite so well, but,
good. So thanks for coming. Welcome
to be here.
For being here.
I'm happy to be here.
Me too.
And this is a powerful time we're living in. So
yeah,
it's very interesting. Things are wow.
Well, you know, in particular, that moon last night, the solstice total eclipse, that was really pretty amazing. I thought it was going to start to darken earlier. I was expecting it to begin to darken around 9:30, maybe. And no, it didn't really start. To me, I didn't really seem to notice it very much until after 10:30, 10:40 a little bit. Yeah, I think it had a little bite out of the moon, the disk of the moon, by 10:40 or so. And then I remember by like 11, it was probably close to half the moon.
Yeah.
Then as it approached like 11:40, 11:45, that time frame, that's when it was completely in the shadow.
Yeah. I didn't witness that.
That was interesting. I did catch just a little bit of that. And then the fog ate my moon.
Yeah. Ate everyone's moon. She's all ours.
Now, you've been looking at some new writing that you've found interesting, huh? What have you been looking at?
Well, this one book is The Underworld Initiation, A Journey Towards Psychic Transformation.
Yeah.
R.J. Stewart, The Authentic Core of Western Mysteries Revealed Through Oral Traditions, Celtic Myth and Legend. And the one thing that's I find kind of interesting is that, you know, this holiday is we've got it backward in our culture, because we're like going out and visiting people and buying presents, and we're externalized in a lot of ways, and we're giving gifts, when in the more pagan traditions the understanding is that this is a time of the inward journey. This is a time to like really enter into a place where you can commune with the spirit dimension more. And that you can see it in the analogy of the seed, where the seed has to be deeply buried and is in this dormant state.
Yeah.
And then after it survives the death of winter, it blooms in the spring. And so with us doing all our Christmas celebration and all the mall stuff and all of the externalization and that we do, the partying and all of that, we kind of like go against cosmic rhythm. And so it's kind of interesting to know a little bit more about like how we get off track,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah.
So we can fix it. No, not to cry about it or complain. Just go, okay.
It's good to point it out and bring a solution to.
Solution, yes. Just remember, take time to like get into some quiet in, amongst the madness of families and friends and the blessings of that, and you know, but take some time to go inside and be quiet and still and just breathe and be in that state where you're incubating rather than active and manifesting and doing all that you're doing in the external externalization of your energies.
Yeah. No, I think that's
more social than it's really intended to be.
Yeah.
As far as like supposed to be a more a quieter, you know, hibernation.
Kind of thing. I get you there. In that way, then too, like you said, it's you fall into, you know, resonance with that cycle, with that, with that energetic cycle. It's a mind blower too that while we're in the midst of the darkest, longest night, the Southern Hemisphere is in the midst of the very brightest, longest day.
Hey.
Yeah. And so there's that. Was one of the things that McKenna
cycle
pointed out. He says, he says, like, even the sleeping cycle, half of humanity is conked out at any moment, roughly. And then half is, you know, waking and rising. Maybe it's a little bit less, and maybe it's not quite half. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's the thing about the way that things are moving. So it's constantly in multiple states.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's in constantly in a state of multiple states. Maybe that's some of the real freedom we have. We're already in multiple states. So which states should we attend to? It's kind of like tending your garden, right? You got to go out in your garden. My garden needs a little work right now. But you get out there.
There's swamps right now.
I need to mow the lawn when it dries out eventually.
If it hasn't turned to seaweed.
Yeah.
Have seagulls on your back fence. Too fun.
The seeding thing, that was something you were kind of going at a minute ago. And that, I think, is really lovely, that sense of nurturing, planting some seed, some...
Right. For a future becoming. For, you know, that's what's... What the vitality of the seed is a future becoming and unfolding. And we can choose to do that anytime we want. And it doesn't take a lot except for an inner attention, really, more than anything else. You can even train yourself to get to the place where you could be in the midst of the most chaos you could possibly imagine and sit down, go inside with your heartbeat and your breath, and relax and just watch from inside and have that state of balance that you can do it amongst the turmoil, and it's very powerful. The effects of it are very powerful.
Yeah. Well, it's that
throughout your whole body, your spirit, your mind. It's
that has a quality as well of focusing.
In a cycle, the in and out, the respiration, the inspiration, and, you know, so it's all a cycle.
Yeah.
And you being a sky watcher, you got to know about cycles like nobody else. I know more.
Well, you're right.
I'm really happy to be sitting with you and what you know about that.
Well, it's fun.
You can tell us all.
You know, I learn as I go, right? I didn't know a thing about the Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus cycle until this year. I'd never noticed it. And I did the math, which is fairly simple math. So you take the orbital periods of Jupiter, 12 years, Uranus, 84 years, and Saturn, 29 and a half years. And you say, well, what would be the lowest common multiple of those? And I did the math, and it works out to, I think, believe it was 180 years, something like that, 180. And so if you start with all three of them together in 180 years, they'll all come back together.
Hey.
You know, whatever, that's the orbital period for them. So they have there's a Jupiter-Saturn-Uranus thing going on right now, which is a spread. Jupiter and Uranus are together and Saturn's opposite. That only happens once every 180 years. But when it happens, it moves around the sky.
180 years.
Yeah, but the 180-year cycle moves around the sky in such a way that it moves forward so many degrees every time it happens. So it has to do it about five or six times. I think it's six times. And it comes back to the same spot. So after six times, 180 years, that's 1,100 years. So right now, we're having an 1,100-year resonance to something.
Oh.
And what this connects to is how Jupiter and Uranus are together, and last year they were exactly opposite Saturn at the equinox points. That's what happened 1,100 years ago. There was a great balancing between...
What was going on historically in that time?
Well, there was some really important things going on, I believe, for the Islamic people. I believe that was a surge for them. And something like this would probably affect all cultures to a certain degree. Everybody, it's a rising tide, floats all the boats. And so there's that quality of some rising tide that's available to us again. And so we have that going on right now. And it's still going on actively with Jupiter and Uranus together, which formed a T-square with a solstice moon last night with the total eclipse. So that's a sharp angle, perpendicular angle. And that throws in some tension. That doesn't make it bad, but it brings a challenge, brings an edge. You know, the Jupiter-Uranus edge is like hard. It's like a... It's a quick slap, but it's real. It's like a kick. It's the kick that wakes you.
All right.
That's the quality of what that Jupiter-Uranus connection for me is related to what that, because it was directly perpendicular to Moon and Sun.
Ah.
And so what we're going to have here briefly in a few months is... Jupiter's going to line up opposite from Saturn exactly again. It did it last year, and it'll do it this year. And in the meantime, Jupiter and Uranus are going to come together, their last together, exact togetherness or conjunction. That's January 4th. Matter of fact, I brought the chart. It's scrunched up. January 4th, okay. So the next new moon now, January 4th is a solar eclipse. And I don't know where the shadow is going to fall. But for us, it will be early, early in the morning. So the sun and moon will be together on the opposite side of the world. So it'll probably fall over Asia somewhere, India, the shadow. But what's also happening on that day, this is kind of amazing, it's the last exact together alignment of, I believe I mentioned this maybe, of Jupiter and Uranus. Jupiter and Uranus have their last exact alignment on January 4th. And then what's going to happen is they're going to start to move up. And first, Jupiter will hit the spring equinox point. But then Uranus will come up and hit it. They were there last year. And when Uranus hits it this time, the sun will be there when it hits. So spring equinox is Sun and Uranus. Sun and Uranus is it's the radiant insight, the truly alive, the living revelation. You know, and it's also this quality. This came to me tonight. Discovery, or so it's the fractility of discovery. That every different type of discovery and artistic twist and expression on this, and we see them all over the place, right? You recognize the resonant ones, it's not hard. You see it, you feel it. Well, when you get that sense of that, that's the sense of that fractal nature. So even some aspects of experience are distinctly, connected to everything else. Like that, what I'm expressing there is that there's a connection in your art and the art of, the musician that you resonate with and with me and where I come from, the kind of things I play around with. There's this joyful noise and music that's going on in between all of this exploration, all of this discovery. Mm-hmm. Well, Sun and Uranus at the spring equinox is that, like, to the nth degree. It's big. Spring equinox and Uranus, Uranus is only there once every 84 years. And that it's there at the spring equinox with the Sun, that's much more rare. That doesn't happen every time. So that's a matter of centuries, at least, when we have the Sun directly there with Uranus. I'll have to look at it. It's at least once every 84 years. No more frequent than that. Mm-hmm. That's it. You can't have it more frequent than that. But I'm pretty sure it doesn't happen every time. Might be close every time, but not exact. It's going to be exact. So that's something that we have to look forward to. It's funny, last summer, the solstice had kind of a very strong formation, and it kind of gave a very clear indication of a whole series of celestial events. And so over those months, I kind of watched it, and it surprised me constantly, the things that popped up. In the fall, we had this beautiful arrangement of Saturn in the western sky, and Venus and Mars were there, and then they all moved close to Spica, and they lined up with Spica. One night, I saw them all in a perfect line, straight line, Spica, Mars, Saturn, Venus, I think it was something like that. Really cool.
Stretch. Are we time traveling right now? Is that what we're doing?
That was earlier this year. So it was a cool year. And I guess the thing I'm touching on is that this solstice time, with the formations that we're seeing happen right now, lead us into another interesting arc that takes us to the next node, to that springtime point. And it looks like an amazing, radiant, brilliant occurrence. Mm.
Well, these are auspicious times, they say. And earlier you said something about revelatory energies or whatever, and with the kind of, strange stuff that I've been gaining from just being in a receptive state and being in a meditation state and sometimes inducing a shamanic state of awareness with drum and rattle, a little bit of flute and some vocalizations, chanting and a little bit of glossolalia when it really builds up very powerfully, and especially if no one else is in the house, because if someone else is in the house, then you got to keep it toned down. If Elijah or Jean, my wife or son, walk in the middle of one of these shamanic reveries, I have to back off a little bit. So just having this conscious energy sort of take over my body in a way and take over my hands in particular and just move me through this sort of sensitization with my hands going close but not touching any organs or appendage in my body, just going sort of like outside scanning it and feeling like somehow or another I was actually touching its biocosmic field, my body's, with my hands.
Right.
And sort of stimulating and amplifying a state of energetic.
Did you kind of feel a different rates of vibration depending on where your hands went?
Definitely. There was an ebb and flow of the whole thing. And it was also matched with my breathing and how deep I could go with my breathing and how slow. And as well as the vocalization. sessions that I was doing, the seed sounds, especially when I started to turn the sound internally, and instead of projecting it outwardly and doing these like long vowel and consonant, you know, hard consonant sounds and really extending them, taking it all of what I was externalizing, and, you know, I could either be drumming or, you know, even I was even doing some stuff on the crystal bowl and, you know, using the high frequencies of that and then sort of doing my chants over that crystal bowl, like emanations. And there was a sort of a weird blending and bending of the tones that I was putting up and the crystal bowl. And you feel like an expansiveness kind of opens up in the room a little bit. And there's a sort of sense of luminescence. Mm-hmm. A different light comes into the room. Mm-hmm. And you have the sense that there's a consciousness that's aware of you, and that is in some way offering you, giving you something of what you've asked for, whether it's been something that was just full in your conscious mind and this is something that you've wanted, or, you know, or whether it was just some more of an unconscious thing, but that there's an agreement that's been made and you've put out an intent, a desire, a wish, a hope. And recently, in just my magical play, in what I call what is happening to me now, spirit play, in that those experiences, there's a response to what I asked to be something that could benefit anyone, something that anyone in any station of life or even in any condition, because if you can't do any of the physical part of it, you can use your imagination and you can do it with your imaginal awareness. And so instead of going into, you know, the difficulties with visualization and, you know, a lot of systems and guided, they say visualize. I don't say visualize. I say imagine. It's a different, you know, there's a different perceptivity that's part of that. Yeah. That goes into that. But anyway, basically what I've been receiving is movements, mm-hmm. body movements, where you could be sitting in a chair or you could be standing, but that what you're doing is you're bringing your hands into different areas of your body, just like 3 to 6 inches away, depending on your sensitivity, and you're just feeling like you're touching the whole of your connection to the cosmos, to the energies of the sun, energies of the moon, mm-hmm. energies of all of the planetary bodies of this solar system, and then out into the galaxy and out into the multiverse that's the cosmos. Mm-hmm. And so you feel that sort of cosmic intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to describe that intimacy, and you feel it, and you recognize that what you're being shown is how you can offer or share with anyone a way that they can touch their own life feel and bring up their vitality a notch, bring up their sensitivity to their emanational nature. And that our hands, and this is something that has come from NASA research, our fingertips emanate more biocosmic luminescence mm-hmm. than any other organ in our body.
Okay.
So 40% more cosmic fire is coming from our fingertips than from our eyes, or, you know, even though every organ does emanate a certain level of that biocosmic luminescence, that's it's the fingers and the fingertips. The tips of your finger got 40% more flame leaping off them.
Right.
And so that's how this way of interacting, what I call spirit play, how it does something in a way that you're touching parts of yourself that you maybe not even knew existed. Hmm. But that is a part of you that is unborn and it's deathless. Mm-hmm. And it's a mystery. Mm. And it's a revelation. And it's a mystery that unfolds. And as you bring your attention to actually interacting with this consciousness that expresses itself energetically, mm-hmm. and expresses through you energetically, and I also experience a lot of stuff with my voice and toning. Mm-hmm. And so I just know, not knowing all of that, none of what you know about as far as the astronomical and astrological aspect of things, I know that the energies that are happening are incubatory energies. They're the seeding energies, and they're a way of open us up into different dimensions of ourselves, mm-hmm. and also into aspects of ourselves that are being cultivated in some way, being transformed by all of the strong energies you're talking about, mm-hmm. and how that shines on us in the ways that it does, and how it impacts our thinking, yeah. our you know, our being, our feeling, yeah. all of that. So it's really interesting to be receiving what I'm receiving at this time, that I'm receiving it, and I'm not, you know, naming it or anything like that, just to say that it's part of you know, one of the projects that we're involved with the that documentary thing that we're doing, and the next piece of it being magic with the MAGICK, that part, and that's where the naming comes in. Just to say that it's an unseen intimacy that guides us from within and without.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And that when you say yes to it, because of the benevolence of the thing you're asking for, and it grants you your wish, and you receive something that you suspect could benefit anyone that played with it. Hmm. In some way, it will increase your sensitivity and your connectivity to the fields of energy that are all around us, mm-hmm. that we are. We're not even this solid form, and yet we manifest as that. And yeah. What's the glue of that? What holds the whole thing together?
Isn't that an interesting thing too?
Oh, yes.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Not only does it all manage to hold together, it manages to hold together in this state, in this form. You know, that was one of the things.
Spinning at incredible velocities.
Well, yes. When you consider
so much space in between each supposed smallest thing.
Yeah.
And yet we're solid. We have form, and yet we're these spinning, vibratory, spiraling light. Some say there's strings. Like I like the spiral thing. I like that spiral cycle, mm-hmm. and they flow into each other. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not. Their boundaries are permeable. Mm. They're dancing.
Okay.
Spirals are dancing, and they don't have a defined boundary. Mm. And that's a connective, it's a higher relationship in some way.
Yeah.
And it's a octave higher, you know. It's not stopping. It's not spinning in a circle where it's the energy is perpetuated. It is extending out into space and sharing itself.
Okay.
And so the energies that come into and go out of in the spiral are energies of reciprocity. Hmm. I'm hoping that with all of the energies that are occurring with the planets and everything that's going on, that we're having a birthing process in which we will become more connected and more aware of our interdependence.
Yeah. And our collective footprint.
Our collective footprint and bloody nose and everything, yes.
Our, something ultimately.
Our toxic fart into the environment, all of the chemicals. And, oh, boy. What we put out there. We do a poor job with our role in nature. We're not very good stewards of our garden.
Well, and we're not highly cognizant yet of how our nature is that nature. Yeah. We're still waking up to that.
Right. Well, you know about my whole thing with the, you know, cosmic origins thing, and that we're really, you know, we're this transforming creature that is unfinished. We're an unfinished animal. Hmm. And I'm saying the bets are on that there's something in us that is not from this world, does not have its origin in this world.
Okay.
And that we're the cosmic monkey. And so in stating that, I'm saying we just do not even have a clue what we're going to evolve to.
Yeah.
And with all of the what you're talking about with the energies, those energies are part of that, the alchemy, you know.
Well, and we're still part of the primordial garden. The primordial garden is the celestial garden. The primordial garden, yes, is the flowering of the stars. It's the great burst of the start, whatever,
yes,
that start is.
Yes.
And it's first blooming. To me, that's kind,
yes,
of what that essentially is. And then cycles of blooming then proceed and continue,
right,
and there's,
right,
there's greater development that occurs. It's a mind blower that we perceive the dimensions to such a degree looking out, but we also in that perceive dimensions moving backwards. Well, I don't know how we might yet perceive going forward, but seeing as we can perceive backward and we can perceive out, certainly it seems possible that we may also gain our orientation with the view forward. But perhaps that comes with a view deeper.
Inner, yes.
Yeah.
Both. Mm. Has to be. Because a lot of the technology, hyper-technologies that are happening, there's a lot of external awareness, but it's a virtual environment. And with that, we get further away from nature. Do we have a caller? Is it
front door?
Front door.
Yeah.
So we still plugged in?
We're good.
We're good.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. So it's exciting. It's painful, too. It's not just fun and games. A lot of people have deep wounds from holiday time, and so you can't expect everybody to be cheery and religious or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to meet people where they are and just kind of be a supportive presence and not,
yeah,
you know, get off track.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely the thing. I think you have to meet experience, meet the person, meet your state. That was one of the things I was going to touch on. This summer, it spoke to me really strong. The context of experience, all experience, is the state of experience. The state of experience is the readiness and the availability to what comes through us, to us. in the midst of the experience. Anyway, that it kind of goes along with those wider dimensions that you were referring to, becoming aware. And to me, even just the physical dimensions, you know, that we can see depths, we can measure in light years the distances between stars, from us to the stars, between the galaxies, in the depth of the galaxy.
Right.
We have quite a good set of eyes on our universe, speaking in a, you know, in a collective astrophysical sense alone, just yes. That alone.
Yes.
So that's
it. We got that cosmic energy playground going right on in our living room.
Mm-hmm.
And as we become more sentient as energy beings,
yeah,
and start to explore a little more our sensitivities and become more curious and more receptive to being guided by him, because that's what I found in my I find in my process is that I'm actually being guided by these energies, and some of the sounds that come out of me and some of the harmonics of that, and I can almost, in the midst of having expressed through me, kind of just like go wonder into wonder and go, that came out of me, and what was that? And that was a string of alien words. If I ever heard any, they're more sound than they were. I have no idea what any of that just meant. And sometimes you feel like you're on a wild ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, you know, this... It's not just of your volition. You say yes to it if you dare,
mm-hmm.
if you're willing to be guided by it, and you're willing to, like, have a spirit ride
yeah.
of a sort.
Yeah.
And then it takes you where it does, I guess, at to wherever you next needed to go to grow. You know, it takes you to that next level where you can go, okay, had fun with you, and now you get a chance to kind of reflect on this experience and name it however you do, poeticize it, vocalize it however you do, what you do with it. But it's a gift, and here you go. You just got one, a freebie, and all you had to do was be there, you know, and maybe wildly drumming or whatever it was that you were doing to induce your consciousness in a way where you were out of beta mind for a moment and you
right.
were into another state, another brain state.
Another state.
Another state. A brain state or a mind state.
And that does. That changes everything in experience.
It absolutely does. To say yes to it and just to go, all right. This has even gotten scary at times. When you feel like you're having a seizure, but you know you have total lucidity.
Okay.
So you've given yourself over to this spasming of your external limbs, and you're kind of like, you know, it's kind of erratic movement at first because you're kind of fighting it a little
bit. Yeah, I've had
this.
And then
finally you say, okay, the Kundalini snake is going to shake me good. Shaking the tree of life, okay. The grail is awake. The grail has woken up. The body is being manipulated. The body is being shown ways of aliveness. And the body is being shown a sensitivity of how to participate in that energetic aliveness, and the trembling of fingers, and you know, all of that is that which is a part of that initiatory energetic experience.
Yeah.
Say yes, ride it, trust it, love it, thank it. Bless it, it's on its journey when it leaves you, because you do, there's moments where it's fully, you're fully with it or conscious of it being there, and then you know the difference. You know, something has changed. The light has gone out of the room a little more. The vibrational feeling I can feel it with my hands. When my hands are really sensitized, I can feel it in the air around me.
Yeah.
And I can feel it almost like a vibratory pressure. And depending on what part of it you're touching and how you're touching, and it touching back at you, you can feel it as temperature change. You can feel it in numerous different ways. There's different sensitivities, but you feel it, a presence in there.
Yeah.
And say, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's really, that's lovely. I got to thank you. We got just a couple of minutes left, because about 5 minutes till we usually start clearing out if we can.
Yeah.
But
some would say angels.
Hmm.
I think angels are more present in these solstices and these equinoxes and these moments in the time of the earth, you know, the seasons that... There's a opening for that.
You know what they seem to say? That vibe says to me, it says, call to us, call us, call us forth, call me forth.
Yeah.
It's like an invitation.
Yes.
But
yes.
But there is
invitation,
a real
initiation.
Well, it doesn't come unbidden.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because especially, see, the thing is that what you're asking, there has to be a certain level of selflessness about it. It's, I want something that will benefit everyone. Mm-hmm. Something simple, mm-hmm. something easily shared, mm-hmm. something immediately practicable as well as testable. Yeah, get empirical with our spirituality. We've had too much abstract.
No, I think that's a very good one. I think it goes along really well with that, the Jupiter Uranus vibe especially. And we're right getting a big blessing and a big dose for most of the last year, certainly the last 6 months, big time.
Yes,
Jupiter Uranus, and it's going to continue to some degree, and immediately have a big hit on January 4th, and then a big hit with the Sun and Uranus at the spring equinox together. So we got to wrap it up and get out of here. But I wanted to reflect for you just 1 minute, really quickly, on this solstice event that happened. The total lunar eclipse that occurred last night. Interestingly, it's occurring. The Sun and Pluto were fairly far apart, 5 degrees, in terms of the measurement on the zodiac, but they were both almost exactly together on the galactic equator, because Pluto, for the first time and last time in 248 years, crossed the galactic equator this last year. So it's made its last movement across the equator. And so the Sun at the equinox time, or sorry, solstice time, is also aligned right there. So the Sun and Pluto were together along the galactic equator. And I think most people have very, very little awareness of that. That was strong.
Wow. Yeah.
Then the Mars was there, and Mercury, I believe, as well. Mars, Mercury, Sun, Pluto, and the galactic center. They were all together on one polarity.
Wow.
And then the Moon was in total eclipse up on the other polarity.
Wow.
And that line, that's the line of the ray projecting out from Kunapku, out from the very center of the heart of our universe. So here's the chant for that one. And it's still kind of going on tonight, too. You could chant this again tonight. From the Moon is the ook sound. Ook. And then the Earth, Mother Earth, ooh. And then we have the sun behind the earth, King E. Finally, Hunapku, the great central sun, the heart of the galaxy.
Hunapku.
Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to KKUP Cupertino 91.5 FM. God bless you. Stay tuned. Another great program coming up right next on KKUP Cupertino.